Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with my co-hosts, Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And it is Monday. It is January 30th, 2023. Hi, Butch.
Hi, Melody. How you doing?
I'm doing great today.
Good.
Great day.
Good. Glad
it's a beautiful day here. Yeah, it's a beautiful day here on the eastern shore of Maryland, and, you know, no radiation particles floating through the skies yet, so, hey, it's a great day.
Well, you know, we got several war articles to cover in a little bit, so you better be thankful that you still say that.
Yeah, I know. Knock on wood. Oh, I hope my dog didn't hear that, but yes, knock on wood. So, anyway, it's interesting day in the markets today. We saw a little bit of a stronger dollar today, so a little bit of weakness on gold. Gold was down 6.10 in the New York spot price after market, 19.22. Silver is down 5 pennies at $23.64. Platinum was down a buck at 1,020, but palladium was higher by 22 at 1,718. The USDX today was down 0.32. at 102.23, crude oil was below 80, 1.89 below, 77.79. Paper markets today, you have the Dow down 260 points, 33.17. S&P was down 52, 4,012. NASDAQ was down almost 2%, 11,393. The bond market, the 10-year yield was 3.54%. Asian markets, it was mixed. European markets, FTSE was down. I mean, was up. Everything else was down. And let's go to natural gas. That was also down 2.673. That's down 6%. 2.67 down 6%. So that was pretty much it in the scheme of things, and really on, you know, reports, you got most of it as far as the, you know, is he going to raise rates? Isn't he going to raise? Is he? Isn't he? How much? Maybe it's this. You know, it's just it just wears me out. But here was an interesting article about hospitals are bracing for more patients who can't pay. So now you have hospitals for profit, and you're not going to have patients who can pay. So tells you the quality of employees that they'll have. That means they'll have to lay people off, and they already don't have enough nurses and so forth to cover these hospitals. And I was told today that even one of the biggest hospitals in the country, they don't have enough nurses. And this is, you know, I'm not going to say who it was, but that's a sad state of affairs. It's an issue. But it's just another sign. Out of Reuters, we have Iran and Russia link banking systems. Do you have that, Butch?
No, I don't have that. That's a good one. I don't have that. Share that.
Iran and Russia have connected their interbank communication and transfer systems to help boost trade and financial transactions. This is out of Reuters. This was from a senior Iranian official today, as both Tehran and Moscow are hurting from these Western sanctions. And you know what? I don't know why they continue just to do sanctions. Sanctions never work. They work in the opposite thing. They don't do anything good. I don't get it, you know? So now you sanction these countries, and now they're teaming up. So how well did your sanctions work? So since the 2018, the reimposition of the U.S. sanctions on Iran after Washington ditched the 2015 nuclear deal, the Islamic Republic has been disconnected from the Belgium-based SWIFT financial and messaging service. Iranian banks no longer need to use SWIFT with Russian banks, which can be for the opening of letters of credit and transfers of warranties. While Russia's central banks declined to comment on the deal signed yesterday, it said about 700 Russian banks and 106 non-Russian banks from 13 different countries are going to be connected to the system. So there you have it. So just another sign. A lot of people are going to say, big deal, it's Iran, you know? Well, you know what? Iran is becoming a big deal. And not the best of ways. And you know, little old Netanyahu over in Israel, he's just steaming at the brink wanting to go to war with Iran. So when we talk about wars here, you know, in this program, you know, after we're done with these opening articles, there's just little wars taking face and shaping up all over the world.
That's a fact.
And yeah, this is just another one. So
that's
yeah,
Bible. That's Bible being fulfilled. It really is.
Yeah. Iran's top authority, Supreme Leader Ali Khamenei, said on Monday that the establishment faced a tangible welfare and livelihood problem that could not be cured without economic growth. In today's world, a country's status is largely related to its economic power. We need economic growth to maintain our regional and global position. And I saw today where they said, hey, yeah, they've got enough, they got enough fuel for their nuclear powers, for the nuclear bombs. Uranium or whatever they need, and what were they creating, Butch, and uranium, right?
Uh-huh, yes.
Yeah, so they have enough now. So, yeah, you got all these players coming together, taking sides, doubling up.
See, and, that's a problem. It's not just two little countries getting a fight. They get in a fight, of course, but other countries get involved also for different reasons. They get involved. And pretty soon it spreads throughout an area. You know that.
Yeah.
There's no way they can keep it private between two of them. And Iran signing on with Russia, you know, to do with the dollar, so to speak, is just another nail in the coffin for the dollar. It's just, we just want to face the facts. The dollar is going down. It's going down the tubes. And I do believe they have something to back it up already. It could be the
digital
currency.
Do.
I have no idea. But the dollar is going to be going. We know that's coming. That's been planned for a long time. It's coming.
You know, and we talked about, you know, one of these central banks, Japan's central bank being the first central bank to really begin, you know, defaulting and so forth. And now you have the Bank of Japan, Kuroda, stresses need to maintain ultra-easy policy. That's what got them into this mess. And they can't get out of it.
Yes.
And they're going to go belly up. And doesn't anybody, and they'll be the first one. They might be the first domino. And already, because our inflation dropped, ooh, you know, a little, already they're hoping that, you know, Paul Powell can't or won't raise the rates as much or give an indication that he'll be lightening the future increases on rates or, you know, maybe none at all. Once you start this ultra-loose monetary policy, you can't stop it. It won't stop. You can't fix it. It's not conducive to a healthy economy or a healthy banking or whatever you want to call it. It's not healthy. It creates more problems. So, yeah, someone asked me the other day, what should I follow? Well, I'd be following the Bank of Japan. I think that's a biggie. That's a big deal. So how long can they continue to do this ultra easy policy, this ultra loose monetary system? And so what he's saying is, you know, he stressed the importance of maintaining ultra loose monetary policy to support the economy and prod companies to raise wages. Well, how well that's going to work? You have to prod companies to raise wages. Japan's trend inflation is likely to gradually accelerate. Yeah, well, that's kind of like our inflation was transitory. What do you think he's going to say?
Yeah.
You know? Uncertainty regarding Japan's economy is extremely high. It's therefore important now to support the economy and create an environment where companies can raise wages. Okay. How long is that going to last? How many months is that going to buy you? Because that's all it's going to do is buy them a little bit of time. And that's all they're asking, because eventually, kaput. So.
Well, you know, that's, this all ties together. You're talking about the health, the hospital is not getting paid. People can't pay the bills. Well, you remember Obamacare was going to fix all that. They were going to make sure everybody had insurance. Everybody could afford a doctor. And you could keep your doctor you wanted. Remember all those things you told us? You remember all that, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's going to fix everything. Folks, it's called communism, socialism. It won't fix anything. If it's fixing it, why are the hospitals going broke? Why can't people pay their insurance? If everybody's guaranteed insurance, why is there no bills to pay? How come they're paying their bills? This is all part of the game to destroy the financial backbone of a nation and to lead us into communism. Starts out with good ideas like Social Security will help me retire when I get older. Oh, why not do some Medicaid? Why not do some Medicare? How about do some HUD? Next thing you know, we're in over our head like we are right now. There's no way out. The dollar's going to go away. So that they already have alternative plans in place, Melody. I'm sure you know that already. They already have the alternative plans in place. But see, every time you trust government, say, well, we'll fix that problem. We'll make sure that you're taken care of. You better back up. It's going to hurt when they smack you. Because it's coming. So if Obamacare is going to be that, it's going to be the fix to everybody's health care needs, why are hospitals going to have to lay off staff? What's the problem here?
Yeah. And how much of those, and I'm not blaming what I'm going to say in this next statement. They're certainly not the bulk of the problem. But how much does it add to the big problem? And that's the illegal aliens that are coming into this country that's getting health care. So, again, they don't have doctors. They go to the emergency room if they have colds or, you know, whatever and so forth. And you know they ain't paying any of the bills. And it was legislation that was written where they have to – I think they have to take them. They can't turn them away. So, you know, with this big influx, again, I don't think that's the biggest problem, but it's another added problem that maybe they didn't have before 3 years ago to the degree that they have today.
Well, it's definitely a huge part of the problem. It's definitely a huge part of the problem. We're talking about millions and millions and millions of dollars here. They have to absorb somehow. And they do it by raising price on everybody else that is paying.
Yeah.
That's why our premiums cost so much, because we're paying. And our insurance got to cover the ones that don't pay, so they raise our premiums to cover their debt. Folks, this is the way it goes. There's no way around it. The more you give away stuff free, the more it costs you and me.
For those who do pay, yeah.
Yes, exactly.
And so, you always notice it's those other ones that don't pay. They're the loudest screamers of saying, "Well, we're just helping people." Well, yeah, because you don't pay anything into the system. That's why.
Exactly.
So you can sit there and voice your opinion. Here is an interesting art. Let me just do this one. I don't know how this doesn't apply to gasoline because we saw oil prices drop and so forth. But this is I'm not quite sure where this was dated January 28th. So it goes back a few days. But it's about jet fuel prices are up as demand jumps because of refinery outages limit supply. So I thought, well, this is interesting. Jet fuel prices have risen to levels near record. Oh, let me change that. Let me read this properly. Jet fuel prices have risen to levels never recorded in January as demand from China's lifting of COVID-19 travel restrictions and U.S. refinery outages, with the surge likely to continue. So never recorded in January has fuel prices have risen to these levels. Chinese flight activity has more than tripled since early December to more than an average of 10,700 flights per day. This is according to data from flight tracking firm Air Portia. Jet fuel this year will be the largest source of oil demand growth, says the International Energy Agency, which monitors energy consumption. This month's demand should hit 6.6 million barrels per day, the highest reading since February of 2020. And prices are climbing in Asia, Europe, and the United States. In Singapore, jet fuel is trading around $122 per barrel, up 14 cents, and, you know, it goes on. But I just thought that was interesting that jet fuel prices have risen to levels never recorded in January. So I just, again, we give out signs. of what's affecting or what will affect in the economy and your pocketbooks in the very near future. So, then you wonder why airline tickets are so high. They're outrageous. So.
Well, and you wonder, too, that the oil companies made record profits this past quarter. Why? If they're making record profits, why are we paying so much for gasoline? Why can't they give us a break on the price of gasoline? Everyone's going to make a profit. But record profits, is there a reason why they're doing that and it's on the back of the people? Of course. The reason is they can, and they're doing it. Record profits. When people are struggling to buy food, they're making record profits on the back of the people that can't even pay their power bills. Which means, of course, with fuel prices going up, everybody has to raise their prices to cover the fuel costs, which means that you and I pay for the increase in the prices for the services they receive to cover their bills. So this is nothing new. It's just a sign of the time, folks. We're living in a time, I would say, a lot of greed, just quite honest with you. There's no other way to put it I can think of. Again, profits are necessary, and I'm all for them. But when people are struggling to pay the bills already, how can they afford to pay more for fuel if they don't need to?
Yeah, but you know what, Butch? We know this, and we've said this on the program. There isn't anything that trickles down.
No.
The only time you see trickle-down theory work is maybe in your mom-and-pop shops. Your smaller, you know, but they put a lot of them out of business. Yeah, that doesn't trickle down. And if anything trickles down, you pay more. And you know what? It wouldn't matter if we paid more if the stuff was made here. But there isn't anything made here, and all of our money, of all the cheap trinkets that come in from China, all goes so they can build up their military. So now when we go to war with China, probably pretty soon over Taiwan,
talk about that in a minute, too. We have that four-star general in the Air Force discussing this on the war with China. We'll discuss that in a little bit, too.
Yeah. So when we lose that war, maybe that'll stop people from buying things from China.
won't be left here to buy it. That's a laugh. It's not funny. If we get a nuclear war, it's going to cut down a lot of consumption.
No, I like to be optimistic, but
I understand that. We all do, but, you know.
I know.
It's just the way it is. I mean, we're facing something now we haven't faced in many, many years. And again,
it's heading in our direction. It's not like we were the only ones that have it.
That's exactly right. I totally agree. This is what we're facing. It isn't pleasant, but folks, after the break, we're going to cover some war stories war stories that are happening right now that we get to understand we're not immune to it.
And, well, stay tuned. We'll look forward to that. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home. And if you ask me how I'm feeling, don't tell me you're too blind to see. Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna run around and desert you, never gonna make you cry, never gonna say goodbye, never gonna tell a lie and hurt you, never gonna give you up.
We'd never tell a lie. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. And you laugh at that, Butch?
I laugh because you said it, that's all. I mean, now she's telling the truth. We don't tell a lie intentionally ever. Never, never.
1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Give us a call at Discount Gold and Silver Trading. Visit our website at DGScoins.com, DGScoins.com. And
we never tell a lie. We've been wrong a couple times over the years, but just
you
a couple
were.
Times. Yeah,
you
yeah,
were.
Well, yeah, I should take it back. I shouldn't speak for Melody. I was, of course.
Of course. No,
never be Melody. I understand that. But I got to share this first story. This is outstandingly silly, but this is what I did. I want to share this first before getting anything really serious. Portland Cafe. Now, Melody, I don't want you rushing out there now for this because the Portland Cafe to sell Black Jaguar Geisha coffee for $150 a cup. Wow. A cafe and shop in Portland, Oregon is one of the two locations in the United States where rich coffee snobs can imbibe a $150 cup of Australian coffee. Just 22 cups will be available from Proud Mary Coffee Roasters, which has locations in Portland and Austin, Texas. So you better hurry, Melody. The coffee itself is the Black Jaguar Geisha blend and comes from Hartman Estate in Panama. It recently won first place in 2022 Best of Panama competition, one of the premier coffee competitions worldwide. The coffee company paid $2,000 for a pound of the beans, the most expensive coffee purchase to date. For those who don't want to spend $150 a cup of coffee, which is absurd, Primary Coffee Roasters will give away a single cup of the coffee to a U.S. customer who receives a golden ticket in their purchase of a Hartman Pre-Sale 10 from the Proud Mary website. The $34 tin includes 3.5 ounces of Hartman Natural Geisha coffee and possibly a golden ticket for your free cup of coffee. There you go, Melody.
Okay.
I know you're excited about that.
Can you take over the program while I go sign up?
You better hurry. You only got 22 cups. Might want to call and make a reservation.
Yeah, okay. I mean, want to go along?
Yeah, that's absurd. I mean, I'm thinking about that. I'm laughing at that. I mean, I guess they'll sell it, I suppose. But I can't imagine who paid that. But anyway, I can't imagine you'd pay $10 a cup of coffee at, I can't remember the name of the coffee shop. I'll never go there. But
I'll
anyway.
Tell you one thing. Coffee isn't what it used to be. I mean, I can remember there was differences from different brands. And it was always funny because whenever you went to a restaurant that was a little bit better, their coffee was just had a more richer coffee flavor. You just don't find that anywhere hardly anymore. It's just, I think they use so many chemicals and so forth, and you know,
they kill the flavor maybe. Yeah,
I don't know. But anyway,
I like a cup of coffee and breakfast, but not $150 worth. No,
no.
I gotta do without it first.
Me neither.
Yeah, I don't think it'll work.
I would like a sip just to see if it was worth it, but I wouldn't want any more than that.
Well, it's probably $25 a sip. You can try to get some.
Well, I can afford $25.
Oh, wow. Golly. But anyway, I thought I'd share that. It's silly, I know it is, but it's Monday, so give us a break. Let's have a little giggle go along here, because there's a lot of things coming in we may not want to even think about, but they're coming nevertheless. But we'll share some war stories now. Now, this is actually happened. U.S. to increase military ammunition production by 500%, Melody, for Ukraine. Did you see that story?
I did.
The Pentagon is planning to boost its production of artillery ammunition by 500% over the next 2 years as the U.S. is depleting its military stockpile by sending millions of shells to Ukraine. Since Russia launched its invasion of Ukraine, the U.S. has pledged to send Ukraine over 1 million 155-millimeter artillery shells before the U.S. Army began efforts to increase production. It produced 14,400 155-millimeter shells a month. But under new plans, the number could reach over 90,000 each month. Wow. According to the Times, an Army report said the plan will involve expanding factories and bringing in new producers in an effort described as the most aggressive modernization of effort in 40 years of the U.S. military-industrial complex. The unguided 155-millimeter shells that are fired out of howitzers include parts produced by several arms manufacturers, including steel bodies made by General Dynamics and explosives mixed by BAE Systems. American Ordnance pours the explosives into the bodies, and several other contractors produce the fuses that are screwed into the shells. The U.S. plans to dramatically ramp up ammunition production over the next 2 years show that the U.S. is expecting it to support Ukraine against Russia for years to come, and there is no sign that the fighting will end anytime soon. One thing about this, BAE, General Dynamics, are going to make some money, Melody. War is profitable for the arms makers, is it not?
You know, my question is, they're out there making this for Ukraine. What a perfect time for China to hit Taiwan.
That's very true. Very true.
I mean, wouldn't we need, because Biden has said we're going to defend them. Are we or aren't we? If we do, we shouldn't. But if we do, we're going to need ammunition, aren't we?
Well, if we do, we'll need a lot more than what we can get, I'm sure. Yeah. And we sure really will. Now, this goes on, folks, because I just read you, the U.S. is going more than, it's going to more than, it's going to, what, three, five, six times, over six times, increases military, the rounds for the howitzers of the next 2 years, six times, 600% or better. Well, if World War III breaks out, tanks or fighter jets won't matter. This comes from the Kremlin. Fresh off getting the West to sign off on the main battle tanks he long sought from the U.S. and Germany, Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky is already pressing for more, and specific advanced systems from the external backers. In his Saturday night address, he pleaded for deliveries of the U.S. Army tactical missile system, known as ATACMS, to protect cities which are far from frontline fighting. There can be no taboo in the supply of weapons to protect against Russia's terror, he said. On the same day, Russian Security Council Deputy Chairman Dmitry Medvedev used a scathing condemnation in reaction to the Biden administration and other Western officials claiming that ramped-up arms deliveries are actually helping to prevent a world war. Firstly, he said, defending Ukraine, which nobody needs in Europe, will not save this senile old world from retribution if anything occurs. Secondly, once the Third War breaks out, unfortunately, it will not be on tanks or even on fighter jets. Then everything will definitely be turned to dust. Kremlin officials have of late made the point that the U.S. M1 Abrams as well as German Leopard tanks will make little difference on the battlefield other than to ensure a rapid escalation between NATO and Russia. I don't know what else I can say. He told the truth. If we go to nuclear war, tanks will be useless, and so we're fighter. I mean, the small, what we call our large arms today, fighter jets and tanks and battleships, will be a very little good. When countries are burning, and people are dying from radiation and other things, tanks won't do a lot of good. To fix its problems in Ukraine, Russia turns to the architect of the war, General Valery V. Gershomov. The architect of President Vladimir Putin's invasion of Ukraine took over the day-to-day running of Russia's war effort this month by convincing his boss that his predecessor was too passive, American and European officials say. The general, Gerasimov, turbocharged strategies that is what led Russia to problems to begin with, and Moscow still does not have the troops, ammunition, or equipment that military officials say it needs to mass a big offensive promised by the country's senior military leader. So he pointed another gentleman to be head of the war. And so we'll see. Will that make a difference? I don't know. We'll see. But Putin, Vladimir Putin is set on big war with NATO to bring back the Iron Curtain, says top Russian political scientist, as Ukraine warns Russia will launch new preemptive strike by February 24th. Well, that's less than a month away, Melody.
Is that the year 2024 or February
24th? No, February 24th, this year. This year. That's the anniversary of when the war started. Vladimir Putin is set. Go ahead.
Number one, I don't think anybody knows the dates. I mean, so when they give dates like that, I take, you know.
Well, you don't
you know.
Know.
I mean,
you're right.
Why, you know, although we knew when Putin was going to go in there, we knew when they were going to start because Biden gave us notice when they were going to. So who knows?
Well, whether off a week or even a month, it really makes very little difference. It's going to be something that we don't want to think about. But
Vladimir
Putin is set on a big war with NATO to try and bring back the Iron Curtain. A Russian expert is warned as it is revealed Russia is planning a new preemptive strike in Ukraine. Moscow is said to be preparing for a new offensive ahead of the first anniversary of their invasion on February 24th, and satellite photos show Putin's forces building up fortifications. Putin aims to start by swallowing both Ukraine and Moldova, then subjugate Eastern Europe, restoring an old Cold War-style Iron Curtain across the continent, according to Professor Grigory Udin. He sees the Eastern Empire, the entire Eastern Empire, one more time. He sees the entire Eastern Europe as his serfdom, the professor told YouTube show CivilNet in a chilling forecast. Dr. Udin, a professor at the Moscow School of Economic Sciences, does not believe major Western countries will fight to save the likes of Poland and Lithuania. We must free ourselves of the illusion that this is a war between Russia and Ukraine from the Kremlin leadership and point of view. The Russian leadership doesn't believe Ukraine exists. It is impossible to fight what doesn't exist. To them, the war in Ukraine is really against the West. Never thought about the way before, but Ukraine is really a break-off, I guess, a satellite of Russia. So I guess in their eyes, they're still part of Russia. I don't know how that works. But I just know that things are heating up there fast. Melody, I don't even like to think about the consequences of this. If we just stuck to a conventional war, if we only had the conventional war, the U.S. does not have the means to fight two wars on two fronts with China and Russia both. I doubt they could take on Russia.
Iran? How about when we get involved with Iran and Israel?
Of course, exactly.
So there's a third one.
So we don't have the resources. We're no longer that wealthy a nation to be able to produce them. We don't have the organization to produce them. We have a woke military that wants to carry a purse to have a rifle. We don't have a whole lot to look forward to as far as the defense of this country. We've been playing the fool's game, so to speak, where the enemy's building up their offenses. We've been playing games and letting ours die. And most in the past history has shown anyway that most empires collapse from the inside out. You can name a bunch of them. Rome, Babylon, and me in the Bible times collapsed from the inside out because of immorality and greed. I think we can say the same thing, couldn't we?
You could.
So it is a hard thing to face. But doesn't change it. Any comments on that, Melody?
Well, maybe World War III isn't about the third war. Maybe it's about three locations. Because I was thinking, well, yeah, you got Israel and Iran, you got Russia and Ukraine, you got China and China and Taiwan. But and you know what? We got the open borders. Lord knows. You think if we really went into that, and I don't know if we're going to go there or not. I'd like to hope and think that. You know, common sense prevails and, you know, someone backs down or, you know, changes or whatever. Highly unlikely, but that's my hope. That's my prayers. But how many do you think are in this country that are still supportive of their native lands? And also would like to see the U.S. fail? And, you know, there was always that thing with Mexico. There's things been written for years that some one day that they would eventually get that southern section back, southwest section back from the U.S., that was their, I mean, that was their goal, to get that land back. So, you know, what better way to instigate other war? I mean, there's all kinds of possibilities.
There truly are.
But my point is, who's in this country?
I agree.
All the people in this country, how many of us anymore are Americans?
I agree.
We don't know.
Agree. And which leaders do we have in America that we want to follow a day into war?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, not only that, but I think some of these young people who don't have faith, they don't have, you know, they don't have any, I don't know what you want to call it, any substance, any core belief. I mean, who would they support?
Don't know. That's a biggie. That's a good question. Yeah. But one last war article here. Air Force General predicts war with China in 2025. Tells officers are prepped by firing a clip at a target and aim for the head. He said, "I hope I am wrong. My gut tells me we will fight in 2025, said General Mike Minahan in a memo sent to an officer's commands and obtained by NBC News. A four-star Air Force general sent a memo on Friday to the officers' commands that predicts the U.S. will be at war with China in 2 years and tells them to get ready to prep by firing a clip at a target and aim for the head. In a memo sent Friday and obtained by NBC's News, General Mike Minahan, head of the Air Mobility Command, said, "I hope I'm wrong. My gut tells me we'll fight in 2025. Air Mobility Command has nearly 50,000 service members and nearly 500 planes and is responsible for transport and refueling. Minahan said in a memo that because both Taiwan and the U.S. will have presidential election in 2024, the U.S. will be distracted and Chinese President Xi Jinping will have an opportunity to move on Taiwan." Yeah, could be. I mean, both countries have an election the same year. Could be. Why not? We'll see. Maybe he's right. I mean, like Melody, I pray he's wrong. But I do believe it's imminent, Melody. It may not be next year, this year. I don't know, but I know it's imminent. We're going to war with China sooner or later. It's going to happen. And Taiwan may be the trigger point of it. I don't know. But we're going to go there, aren't we?
Well, hopefully it's later than sooner. But, you know, again, I think to myself, yeah, China, what do they have to lose? They got all our money. You know, they used our consumers. They used the citizens of this country to buy all their crap. They know we're broke. So they don't need to keep this relationship going anymore.
Very true. Very true.
We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home. And welcome back. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. It is Monday, isn't it? 1-800-375-4188. And I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. What's next, Butch?
Well, another one of those suspicious things happened, Melody. Massive fire destroys commercial eggplant from a farm belonging to top U.S. supplier. Imagine that. Dozens of food processing plants were destroyed and or damaged by last year by quotation marks accidental fires. After several months of a law and mysterious fires rippling through the food industry, the first major one of the new year was reported by NBC Connecticut on Saturday. More than 100 firefighters battled a massive fire at a commercial egg farm in Basra, Connecticut, on Saturday afternoon. According to Epic Times, firefighters spent hours extinguishing a 150-foot by 400-foot chicken coop in Hillendale Farms, which contained about 100,000 chickens. Another mysterious accidental fire, folks, destroyed another food processing plant, another food manufacturing plant, another livestock plant that produces eggs, and eggs went up tremendously in the last few months. I wonder if this is part of the plan. I just have to wonder, are all these fires accidental and everybody just, we know what happened, or this all just happened by coincidence and none of this is for real? I mean, we're not doing this on purpose. We're doing our best to help everybody. Do you believe that? If you do, I got some seafront property right here in Nicholas County, West Virginia, Lake Celia right now. I mean, Melody, this is way beyond even common sense thinking that this is all coincidence. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I mean, it's sometimes I believe there is no such thing as a coincidence. Sometimes it is, but for the most part, I don't think there is. And so.
That makes 130 or so plants in the last year and a half have been burned or blew up or flew into or something. I mean, that's a bit much to swallow, even for an old hillbilly.
Yeah, it is.
A bit much to swallow. And the cost of living had become extremely oppressive, and 57% of Americans can't afford a $1,000 emergency expense. I was talking to a neighbor today, and he's like I am. He's older than I am, actually, a little bit. Years ago, he paid off everything like I've tried to do. He owes nobody anything. But like myself, he's feeling the pinch from just keeping up with the regular payments, Melody, like, you know, phone bills, electric bills, car insurances, the groceries, all that adds up, and it takes away from what we thought we had extra. It's starting to diminish. That makes sense to you?
Yeah, of course.
And I can understand. I don't understand how people that are, I don't know how they do it, can afford to buy even a used car a day. The prices, they're going down like a rock, but they're still very high. I don't know how anybody can afford that $800, $900 car payment. I don't know how they do it. Sometimes more than that, sometimes $2,000 a month. That's obscene. But how they're doing it, I mean, I know they're probably working good hours, but everything's so shaky more. I personally would not want to go in debt for anything unless there's an emergency at all. But this article says that over half Americans couldn't afford a $1,000 emergency expense. This is from Michael Snyder, by the way, Economic Collapse blog. I don't have to tell you that your money doesn't go as far as it once did. You see it every time that you go shopping. Our leaders flooded the system with money and pursued high inflationary policies for years, and now we are all paying the price. Not just it. The leaders don't pay, folks. They don't care. They're not going to miss their bills. They don't pay the bills. We do. The cost of living has been rising much faster than their incomes have, and this is systematically destroying the middle class. Survey after survey has shown that a solid majority of the population is living paycheck to paycheck, and at this point, most U.S. consumers are tapped out. In fact, one brand new survey just discovered that 57% of Americans cannot even afford to pay a $1,000 emergency expense. And by the way, another article went on to say that people making $100,000 a year,
they can't survive.
Paycheck now.
Yeah,
that's a fact. According to Bank Rate's annual emergency fund report, 68% of people, 68% of people are worried they wouldn't be able to cover their living expenses and for just 1 month if they lost their primary source of income. And when push comes to shove, the majority, 57% of U.S. adults, are currently unable to afford a $1,000 emergency expense. Now, just think a minute, folks. Think just a second. Let's say you're paying your bills and you're managing it by and you're doing okay right now. But what if your primary source of income dried up? How many months could you cover your expenses? That's a question to ask yourself. Not just for you, but for your wife and children or your whatever, your whole family. When broken down by Generation Zers, 85% and millennials, 79%, are more likely to be worried about covering emergency expense. These numbers are quite ominous because they clearly demonstrate that we are completely and utterly unprepared for any sort of major economic downturn. And thanks to the rapidly rising cost of living, we're losing even more ground with each passing month. Yeah, that's saying the least. That truly is. But I am concerned for people that are living month to month. I've been blessed with my three sons. They're all doing well financially as far as being able to pay the bills. But they're feeling the pinch also. Everybody is. Mainly put it to people my age when living on basically a fixed income and trying to do odds and ends on the side to pay the bills. What would they do? I mean, they don't get raises. They don't have any way to go look for a higher position or get more money. I mean, what are they going to do when it gets down to the point they can't pay the bills? Where do we go? What happens? Would that be a time to break up the digital currency and you have to sign up and more or less get on the Mark the Beast system to pay your bills? Is that possible it's going to happen? It's going to happen, folks. It's just a matter of when, but it's going to happen. Comments, Melody?
Well, no, I mean, you know, with all this talk about going into a World War III and so forth, I mean, that would be the time in order, as far as globally, for trade and so forth, because that's how the currencies will be split. That's how, you know, afterwards, that's how they would be created, some sort of, because countries will still trade. You've got the, you know, because things do come back. It's, you know, it won't be a Mad Max scene forever and ever. And not all areas of the country, of the world is going to, you know, it's, you know, if it's a nuclear war, I think it'll be quick. Devastation won't be quick, but, you know, I don't, you know, pretty much, you know, the war stopped after Japan was hit. So I would think it'd be the same thing, but that's a perfect time to usher in, you know, the global trade currency, digital. So as far as domestically here, you pretty much become, what do I want to say? Broke?
That's putting them out of the yes.
You pretty much lose a large portion of your savings lifestyles will change. Our standard of living is going to change.
Eating habits will change. Yes, they will.
COVID changed everything. It was never going to go back. That is, it was a strong dividing. That was the line in the sand. It was never going to go back. Things all changed. And you can go back and look at the various dates. I mean, people laugh at Y2K. Y2K happened. 9/11 happened. 2008 happened. You know, it's all happened for whether these were planned or not planned, I don't know. But they were used to get us to where we're at today.
That's very true.
All those circumstances was a time when they were able to, you know, bring us to where we are today at the brink. What is it, 90 seconds to doomsday?
That is very true. Nowadays, whether they're planned or not, I think most of them probably were. It's probably the plan to get further into the system, but it's working.
I agree, but...
You know, it's just the way it is. But it said federal food stamps program hits record cost in 2022. They're going to start cutting back, folks, on SNAP. Food stamps are going to be cutting back starting right away. In early January, the Wall Street Journal editorial board warned that one peril of a large administrative state is the mischief agencies can get up to when no one is watching. Specifically, they highlight the overreach of the Agriculture Department, which expanded food stamp benefits by evading the process of determining benefits and ending congressional review. Exhibit A in the overreach is the fact that the cost of the federal food stamps program, known as Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, increased to a record $119.5 billion in 2022, according to data released by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Food stamp costs have literally exploded from $60.3 billion in 2019, last year before this pandemic, to a record $119.5 billion in 2022. Well, that's double what they were spending before. And they said they cannot continue this. So there's going to be a cut on the food stamp program, SNAP program. I think they said starting the 1st of February. We will see. I don't know. We'll see. But Biden wants to do something with folks with 401k. Melody and I both have told you, get your money out of paper, put it in solid financial ways to protect yourself. And that is precious metals. 25 states sued Biden administration over a rule allowing 401k managers to put savings into ESG funds. A coalition of 25 states is suing the Biden administration over a Department of Labor rule that affects millions of retirement accounts. The attorneys general of multiple states involved in the lawsuit announced on Wednesday. The new rule set to take effect on January 30th. That's today, no tomorrow. Allows 401k managers to invest.
January 30th, today.
Yeah. Oh, day's 30th? That's right. I'm sorry. Thank you. That's right. My brother's birthday day. Thank you. Allows 401k managers to invest clients' money in environmental, social, and governance funds, ESG funds, a move that 25 states argue violates the Employee Retirement Income Security Act of 1974. So go take your 401k money that you put back for retirement and invest it, folks, in environmental, social, and governance. Think about that. Just go ahead and leave it in there. Just go ahead and lose. That's okay. According to the lawsuit, the rule puts at risk the retirement savings accounts of 152 million workers, or two-thirds of the U.S. population, totaling $12 trillion in assets in the name of promoting the Biden administration's climate agenda. It does this, the states argue, by making changes to the rule that authorizes fund managers, fiduciaries, to consider and promote non-pecuniary benefits not related to money or financial gain when making investment decisions. Contrary to Congress's clear intent, these changes make it easier for fiduciaries to act with mixed motives. They also make it harder for beneficiaries to police such conduct in lawsuit states. Folks, I'm telling you, get your money out where you got a chance, Melody. That's very important, isn't it?
You know, it really is. And these ESG funds, I mean, you know they're going to be promoted as socially responsible.
Oh, yes.
But it sounds all nice and fuzzy, warm, and all that kind of stuff. But they're not going to tell you where those dollars are going to be funneled to. And when you think about it, these dollars go to companies that, you know, supposedly environmental, social, and governance standards. And it's just really is amazing. And you know, most people in your financial planner will say, well, you know, if you would like to be, you know, help build and have a smaller carbon footprint. Okay. That's all good. And I mean, it's like amazing. It's like, really?
Makes it sound appetizing.
Yeah.
And one last thing here. We're in our time. Now they're coming from Canada. Northern Border sees 743% spike in illegal migrants trying to cross in a year due to easier entry than Mexico, as cops release eerie images of asylum seekers trudging through 12 feet snow. I know it's not 12 foot, they won't tell me, but anyway, they show a 743% increase in people trying to come in from the north. I have a very close friend of mine named Wayne Elliott. He's a close friend of mine out of Canada. He can't come to the U.S. without being vaccinated. They will not let him cross the border into the U.S. mail without being vaccinated. Yet the illegals come across by the tens of thousands, by the millions.
Yep.
And legally, so to speak. They bring them in and tell them, come on in, here's your card, go have fun. But he can't come down, he cannot come down and visit his family in the U.S. because he hasn't been vaccinated. Now, how's that for a fair day, fair deal?
Yeah, I hear you.
So 743% spike of illegals coming across the border from the north now. Not just from the south, folks. But from the north also. It says she's been coming out of Canada. I can't imagine how that would be. They just come across the border and they put them up and put them in motels. I don't know. This is so insane, so absurd, and so frustrating. Sometimes they get very aggravated even talking about it. But it's happening as we speak. And folks, now they want to take your retirement accounts and help green the planet. I know that's going to make you feel so secure in your retirement funds. I suggest you do something with them before it's too late. Get them out while you still can. Yeah, you'll take a hit maybe. But you can get something tangible that they won't be able to take and put into a green fund somewhere. But you at least have to have your hand on. Melly, go ahead.
Well, we're out of time. So we'll be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.